Well, good morning. Oh, thanks for having a horn. It is nice to know that people can hear and see and all that good stuff. Are you doing okay with this pandemic? Are you? You are? That's good, because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of it. I want it to be over. I just want a brand new life. Okay, we can all go home. I told the truth. You know, we all have a story to tell to the nation, how God has worked in our life. And what's keeping us from sharing that message? Because I really don't know. Is it uncertainty? Is it fear? Is it we live in a fallen world and there is a power that is pretty easy to see and feel on the earth? Are we fully relying on God? You know, in our, is it there, dear? Oh, shucks. In our other car, we have a frog that hangs from the rearview mirror because, you know, being a minister of the gospel forever, we learned that while we drive, we need to get the acronym of FROG, F, fully, R, rely, O, on, G, God. So we need to frog it to try and get through this life, to fully rely on Him. You know, we prayed for the people in Texas, and I think the statistic is 58 people died so far. And how many of them knew Jesus Christ as their Savior? How many are going to spend eternity in heaven? And how many are going to hell? See, we all have a story to tell to the nation. And, you know, I've told my elders I want to be focusing this year on being committed followers of Christ. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, this might not be the most great message and uplifting. This is going to be a message looking back and looking forward and maybe focusing on where we are in between. Last year at this time, we were beginning a 5-week series on the parable of the sower. And if you were attending regularly, I'm sure that you remember it full well. And since you have been sowing and reaping diligently, as God has called you to do. A year later, I want to point out other passages that pertain to farming. For instance, in John 4:35, Jesus says, "Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together." Jesus says that we, His people, are the farmers who to be planting and tending and reaping a harvest now. God called you and me. God's call to you and me is that we be active in spreading His message to a world that is perishing. The proof is in the newspaper and on the radio and on the TV. His message is what we need to be taking to a world that is perishing. You and I are to be witnesses and soul winners today. It's never been more important than it is right now. Let's pray. Father, I ask that You would go before us as we enter into this time of learning about You, understanding that You are God and we are not, and that You have given us a message to proclaim to the world. And I pray that You would today give us a boldness, a courage, and a burden to seek and save the lost. God, I pray that Your Spirit would minister to our spirit, that we would go from this place changed and marked by Your hand. For that, we give You the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, Amen. You know, if we were honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that our witness is often lacking some necessary elements. In Psalm 126, the Lord addresses some of the things we lack, and He offers His promise to those who will go into the world in His name, spreading His gospel, His way. The sad fact is, we just aren't seeing many people saved. Not as many as we should be. And God expects us to take His message into the world. God can change the world, and He will through us, through you and me. Let me share the last two verses of Psalm 126. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They will weep as they go to plant their seed, but they will sing as they return with the harvest. There's two words I want to point out to you in this passage of Scripture. In verse 5 especially, the first two words, those who. Those who. There's no indication to whom the psalmist is speaking, but I would imagine that it is to each individual. Where did we ever get the idea that witnessing is solely to be the job of the pastor, evangelist, or missionary? The gospel is to be spread by everyone who has come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We see this in Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Now let me bring this up to date here. You will be my witnesses to Burnville, to Bethel, to Reading, and the ends of the world. In Matthew 28:19-20, we're told to go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In Mark 16:15, Jesus gives this charge. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. The task is just too great to fall on the shoulders of a few. And unfortunately, that's where it is. So I bring this charge to you. Who are you going to tell about how great and awesome God is? Because there are people in this world that don't know. There has never been a moment, there will never be a moment, when the message of the gospel is not needed in this world. Simply put, we're to be on mission all the time. The message we have been given to carry to the world is a powerful message. And we've been given the tools to accomplish the task. It's in your car. It's in your hand. And it should be in our heart. One tool is the message of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 states plainly, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, which you hold in your hand, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures that you hold in your hand. This is a message like no other, that God loves man so much that he died to save him. And then he rose from the dead to offer justification and eternal life to all who will simply place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died and rose to life again. It's a powerful message, and it will work for anyone who receives it. I hope you know that. It's a universal message. It remains the same in any language. That's why people in our backyard are translating God's word into another language so that all will know. We've been given the word of God, which you hold in your hand. In Romans 10:17, we read, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. The word of God tells mankind about the gospel and about the God who designed a perfect plan of salvation, which is made known through the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit? Did you know He's been given to us as well? We've been given the gospel, we've been given His word, and we've been given the Holy Spirit. So take it. Last week I said take the ball and run with it. We need to take the ball and run with it because there's people in Texas and Burnville that are dying and going to hell. Not my words. It's what God's word tells us. We have the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 tells us, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. We can know. About 2 years ago, my rant, my catchphrase was, it's in the book. It's in the book. Read the book. Maybe I should pick that one up and run with it again. It's in the book. Read the book and then share it with anybody that'll listen. Mark 13:11 says, Do not worry before about what to say. Let me read that again. Do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. That's Mark 13:11. Maybe you want to mark that in your Bible. Thank you for the applause. She's not applauding me. She's applauding God's word. We don't have to worry. Listen, the Spirit of God goes with us to witness. If you're going on your own, you're going to crash and burn. And I know from personal experience, that's the outcome. But when you rely on the Holy Spirit, holy smokes, the world's going to catch on fire. The Spirit of God goes with us when we witness. He's the one who's going to get the job done. And He's going to get it done through us, those who make themselves available. He gives us the words to speak as we witness, but know this. It is He who pierces the hearts of the people we're witnessing to. My job is not to save you. My job is to tell you and encourage you to tell someone about Jesus and God's love. There are all kinds of ways to share the gospel. You can learn the Romans Road. You can learn the four spiritual laws. You can go to school and study evangelism. All these are good and they're helpful. But the best witnessing tool is to tell someone what Jesus has done for you. Sharing your personal salvation experience is the best tool for witnessing that you have in your toolbox. Don't be afraid to tell others what Jesus has done for you. 1 Peter, write this one down. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. If you have your Bible open, or if you have your phone up, look at verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 126. It's Psalm 126. We're going to look at the last two verses, 5 and 6. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They will weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with a harvest. this passage has two words that stand out to me. Did they stand out to you? Did you hear them? Weep and tears. They tell of a burden, of a task that must be done. In the same way the farmer gives attention to the field, and he goes out, he labors, he plants, he cultivates, he harvests the crop. Christians needed to have that same passion towards the world that is perishing. We got work to do. We need to till. We need to sow. We need to water. And God does the growing and the reaping. We need a burden for the condition of the souls of men. God's word tells of those who. There's those two words. Those who were burdened for the lost. Examples that serve as a lesson to us to apply to our lives are found in John 11:35. For the Bible scholars here, you know that's the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Memorize that. The address is longer than the verse. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And you look at Luke 19:41 and actually 42. As he, that's Jesus, approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He wept over it and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. You know, this is nothing new that the world doesn't know about Jesus, even while he was on the planet. We were oblivious. And it made him weep. Jesus had a burden. Jeremiah had a burden. We read in Jeremiah 9:1, oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. Listen to Paul's testimony in Acts 20:27-31. I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. I have not come to tears yet. Don't make me fall on my knees and beg. We need to take this message. We need to be burdened for the world around us. Romans 9:2-4 reveals Paul's burden. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. That's a pretty poignant statement. He would give up his life. If you would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, are you willing to die, to have your feet beaten or your head cut off for the cause of Christ? That's where Paul is. They are the people of Israel. Listen, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and he gave them his law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. What are the promises? 1 Corinthians 3:5-9, we're told, the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants, the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we're co-workers in God's service. When we go with a message of the gospel, according to verse 6 in Psalm 126, we're promised there will be rejoicing. Why, as Christians, are we walking around moping? Are we reflecting Christ well? Just as the farmer who had labored and then reaped a harvest could look upon his labor with joy. Look at my carrots. Look at my potatoes. I worked hard for these. The same stands true for the Christian who worked, who witnesses for the glory of the Lord. We want to make Jesus smile. We want to have God have a smile on his face when he looks down at us. Enlarge his kingdom. Tell what God has done in your life. God will smile. Because we witness, one day we will hear the words, "Well done," of God's approval. And oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I long for the day. How about you? There's also the satisfaction of knowing that we will have the opportunity of spending eternity with those who have been redeemed because God chose to use our testimony to redeem them for His glory. We all have a story to tell that can change somebody's life for eternity, and God wants to use it today. We're going to rejoice knowing that there is one more soul who will not spend eternity in hell. You can make that difference. Will you? And the Bible is really clear that there are only two possible destinations for mankind when they leave this planet. There's heaven for the saved and hell for the condemned. Go ahead and read the triad, John 3:16, 17, and 18. They must go together. And it is the truth of God's word. Matthew 7:13-14 offers the simple instruction that we're to share with everyone we meet, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I have asked this question for 30 years. Are you one of the many or one of the few? God's call to you and me is that we be active in spreading His message to a world that is perishing. You and I are to be witnesses and soul winners right now. Not when you're studied, schooled, and perfect and eloquent in your delivery. Right now, when you say, "I don't know what to say." Don't worry about it. God's going to use whatever word comes across your lips to meet the person you're talking to at that moment. And it may not make a difference, but the next person that person meets might have an aha moment that changes their life for eternity. We have a message to tell to the nations. God loves you just the way you are, but too much to leave you that way. Let Him do the work. Go through the pain, because on the other side, the benefits are out of this world. I'm going to close with three questions that I hope that you will take seriously. One, how many times have you shared your testimony with a lost person since you've come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Two, how many times have you had the privilege of taking someone to the throne of grace and personally introducing them to Jesus Christ? Three, what's keeping you from doing one and two, sharing your testimony and introducing someone to Jesus Christ? The truth of the matter is, are we really concerned about those around us who are dying without God? And when we're truly moved by the destination of the lost, they're going to hell, there will be tears, burdens, prayers, and increased activity to seek and save the lost. Let's not let another year go by without doing our part to fulfill the Great Commission. Let's pray. Father, will you create in us a burden for the lost? Break our heart for what breaks your heart. Let us not go another day without telling someone how great and awesome you are and how you have impacted our life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.